This is Pentecost Sunday, and as we've been talking, celebrating the Holy Spirit, I want us to emphasize today what Jesus was, big thing on Jesus' heart. When I was 17 years old, I came to know the Lord. Within that year, say 18 years old, I encountered the Holy Spirit's outpouring on my life. 40 years ago. 41 years ago. I'm an old guy. And today's message is entitled, Your Helper is Here. Your Helper is Here. I think most of us, before we know the Lord, and many, I've talked to many who've come from church backgrounds that didn't really have the availability of the Holy Spirit being taught these things. And those discussions, it's kind of like you get saved and you hang on till the end. And you gut it out. And you try harder. And even in an environment where the Holy Spirit is available, people forget all that God has for them. And we need to be reminded, don't we? So I want us to talk about Jesus' passion to baptize in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the foundation for that, and also some of the benefits and things. We'll get into this in a minute. But I want to ask you, have you ever been deficient in love in your life and have need for love? Can I go ahead and explain to you that the Holy Spirit is your source for love? That He will bring the imparting love of God the Father into your heart and remove loneliness and anxieties. He comes to do that. Jesus is in one body, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have that limitation. So He comes in the fullness of God and can reach to everyone. Just as Jesus said He didn't do anything except He heard the Father say it or saw the Father do it, He said of the Holy Spirit, He's not going to do anything on His own authority. He's only going to do what I tell Him to do. Isn't that amazing? And so He comes. How many of you need to make better choices in life? You need wisdom. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is your source. The Word of God is your source. And the Holy Spirit bringing you to the Word and giving you the ability, the capacity to make better decisions than you did before. It's huge, isn't it? If you take time and allow the Lord to lead, He will. How many of you just need to hear slow down a little bit? Because it seems to be an American thing, just keep driving. Keep going, pushing. How many of you need some healing in your life? Guess what? The Holy Spirit is your source for healing. In fact, the deeper areas of brokenness, I've come to understand because of all the bad things that went wrong in my childhood and all the deficiencies and everything. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and a love entered my life and a healing process began even without understanding the principles of gaining freedom. There was a certain level of freedom just come. Why? Because where the Holy Spirit, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. So when we give place to Him, there comes the work of the Holy Spirit in us to answer the deepest needs of our lives. Even I would say that the Holy Spirit is the great psychiatrist who will lead you through healing to help you not only forgive others, but forgive yourself. Is that right? I've had times of being just not having a clue, and the Holy Spirit shows you what to do. He's the exactly what Jesus said. He's your helper, and your helper is here. And today we want to emphasize the reality and encourage us deeper into that, understanding that we need to walk with the Lord with this availability, both availability to let the Lord lead through the Holy Spirit's witness and direction and all the things that He wants to do in our life, and to spend more time cultivating through the praying in the Spirit and those kind of things to bring all that resource into our life. Why would Jesus make it such a big deal? That's what we're going to look at here. There's two really important things. The first most important decision, of course, is the fact that you need a Savior. You, like me, we're all sinners. We need a Savior. And Jesus came and died for us and eliminated our debt at the cross. He broke the power of sin's rule. And when we come to Him, you can't come and buy salvation. You can't offer your good looks. You can't do anything except come and bring good old-fashioned sin, and He'll give you good old-fashioned righteousness. And in other words, He says, oh, you're going to give me your sin? I'll declare you're righteous in my eyes. Wow, what a deal. Because we cannot, and how many people still feel like they've got to carry the burden of what they've done wrong and try harder? And they're all stuck in their own religion in their mind. But when you come to the Lord, He removes that burden. He removes that weight and helps you live with the peace He's intended you to have. That's really amazing. And when we gather here, how many of you know that hell takes pot shots? You say, man, I'm glad I showed up today. You know, it's amazing a thing about the Lord. All He needs is a man or woman to stand here and speak, and He'll go and talk. Because there's areas of need in your heart that He wants to address today to cause you to blossom in areas where you haven't. Is that true? And cause you to grow in areas where you've been deficient and be loved in those places where you've been dry, and to cause those things to happen for you that you need. So let's bring our hearts with an expectancy today, okay? That the second thing, because when He comes into our life, we need a Savior, but that's an eternal matter, right? But He wanted us to have the same power that He had on the earth. So He said, I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and look at the first, fill in the blank. It's real simple. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who loves and walks with Jesus. Jesus desires that the same Holy Spirit that empowered Him, His life, would empower yours. Understanding the reality, the reality for you. John the Baptist said it clearly. He said, when Jesus was walking up to be baptized, it was a really amazing moment. You know, John the Baptist sees Jesus and says, I need to be baptized by you. I'd probably feel the same way. He said, there's one coming. He says, I baptize in water unto repentance. But there's one coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to unlatch or even hold them. And He will He will baptize you. Everybody say baptize. You in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit and in fire. I don't know why this is left out. I guess it's scary. I don't know if I want to be baptized in fire. What is it like to go get baptized in water? You go down into the water. If you're afraid of water, that's going to be unnerving. But we don't hold you down long. We don't sing like two hymns and say the Lord's Prayer five times. We don't do that. We bring you right on up. But this is an outward symbol. Jesus wants to take you and pour you into His Spirit and saturate your life with the Holy Spirit so that you're empowered in a way that you weren't. Look, you come to know Him and you're saved, and that's when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. And then you go down in the water, and that's baptism in the water as an outward symbol of that first sign. But what's supposed to happen when you come up is now Jesus gets to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. There's three baptisms there. He said, don't run off. Don't tarry. Now, by the way, I want to go ahead and, for some of you, the tarrying, that was just for the first. Guys, don't run off this. But the rest of, there's no more tarrying. You just ask and receive now. Okay? And He says, I'll give you power from on high. Years ago, you know, I'm not going to tell every story in depth, but on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord in the upper room. They were praying, and it says a sound like a mighty rushing wind came, but it was no wind, but it's the sound of a whale. And then suddenly there's tongues of fire on their head, and that same spirit of love being poured out, and they're just like, oh boy. And they're starting to pray in languages that they didn't learn. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, they used to call this the two before of Acts. Isn't that funny? It says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. They did the talking, but they were talking in languages that they hadn't learned with their mind. And if you count them, there's about 16 of them. And people were in the street hearing their God being praised in their own language, And they're all going, what in the world? What is this? And then, of course, you always have, there's the first group, they mock. The first group is the mockers. And whenever God's Spirit does anything, the mockers show up. So don't be disappointed. They're a sign. The second people are the puzzled. What is this? Don't be disappointed. The puzzles are supposed to show up. And the third group is the amazed. They just love it. I'm amazed at what Jesus will do. They all show up. And Peter stood up. In the every other translation, it says, this is what the whole was spoken. But I love that old King James, when Peter stood up, he said, they're not drunk as you suppose. And he said these words, this is that. Everybody say, this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters will prophesy. It goes on. This is that. There was a book written that said, this is that. And the book said, this outpouring of the Spirit, praying in a language you didn't learn with your mind, this speaking in tongues, is that which Joel talked about, the Holy Spirit being poured out. Now, I come along, and it happens to me. And somebody says, no, it can't happen today. And I go, well, this is that. If this is not that, then what was that? And what is this? Because this is that. And so, as you know, there's a principle in the Word of God that says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let something be established. The mouth of two or three witnesses. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a third of each of those books is given to the crucifixion and the resurrection, right? In John, it's about half the book. So you have four witnesses. It's important, isn't it? So that whenever, if you go find some strange little scripture, one isolated little scripture in some Old Testament or New Testament, and you try to build a big doctrine on it, you're squirrely. Because in the mouth are two or three witnesses, something is established. See? So when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I'm going to show you three. This is the first one here on the day of Pentecost. They spoke in tongues, a language that they didn't learn by themselves. They weren't copying somebody speaking a language. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in a language they hadn't learned with their mind by the Holy Spirit's aid and capacity. He gave the language, and we'll talk about that more at the end. The next time was when Peter and John were called out. Philip had gone down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. He'd gone down there and he was preaching and people were getting saved and they were getting delivered. There were people screaming because demons were leaving them. Isn't that something? So you could hear miracles, basically. And there was a guy down there named Simon the sorcerer. And here, this is amazing. Just listen to this. It says, and when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, then they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They're getting saved, they're getting delivered, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. Listen to the language. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say what happened, but here's what it does record. Then when Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on of hands, this is that bad guy, Simon. This is not Simon Peter. This is Simon the sorcerer, the magician. He had wanted everybody to call him great, and he did magic tricks and had everybody spellbound by who he was. He says, when he saw that they laid hands and people received the Holy Spirit, he said, Simon saw that, he says, he offered them money. And he says, give me this power also so that anyone on whom that I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So something happened for him to respond. It was probably they were praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. The second time, and that's okay, it's not mentioned there, it's okay. The second time, I'm saying that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, but there was not the mention of speaking in tongues and prophesying in that moment. But it was obvious something occurred because the guy wanted to buy it. You get it with me now? Okay. The next one was when Ananias came after Paul had been blinded by the glory light of Jesus. He said, why are you kicking against the goads? Paul is now blind and he's in a room. He's hanging out and God speaks to this servant of his to go to Paul. And he says to do two things. He says, pray for him to be healed and that he would receive the Holy Spirit. And he did. And his little shingle things rolled over. His little things fell off of his eyes and he could see. Paul later explains in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So we assume that's where he received. Okay? Now, two more, and we'll move on. Because this is a biblical reality for us today. We've talked about this one before. I'll just read this. This is wonderful. Peter is down at Cornelius' house. And listen to these words. Peter was still saying these things. Everybody, listen. When the Holy Spirit fell. Everybody say, fell. When the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, which means they were Jewish, who had come down with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and praising God. That was the way they knew. The Holy Spirit come upon them. Now they were speaking in other languages. And they were prophesying to one another. And then Peter jumps up and says, hey, can anyone withhold water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? In other words, Peter had preached originally, repent and be baptized in water. When you come up, the gift of the Holy Spirit will come. Right? And now they're baptized in the Holy Spirit before they got wet. And Peter goes, we got to get them wet. So they run. So he says, what's stopping us from putting them in the water? Because the big blockage there was that they didn't believe the Gospels even for Gentiles. And God had to break through a barrier. And to break through the barrier, he poured out his Spirit so that the Jews could go, whoa, they got the good stuff first. Let's rearrange our theology and get them wet. And then years later, this is the last one, that's in Acts chapter 10. Years later, Paul shows up in Ephesus in Acts 19. And it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. Now listen to this, guys. And there were some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I think they went to my church. How about you? You think? Way back. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. He takes them down and says, whoa, let's get the baptism thing right now. That was the one coming before Jesus. Let's go down. And then they're in the water. They're in the water and they're coming up. And it says, and when Paul laid his hands on them, they're in the water, they're coming up, but Paul lays his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. All right? So those three of the passages show that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, this was the response. I love how it says it in the other verse. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and as he was filling them, it says, as he came upon them, then they began to speak. Often, in certain Pentecostal circles, people are wanting somebody to pray in tongues before they've actually been filled. You've got to give time for the Holy Spirit to just to flood the soul. Amen? Are you there? I don't know why this would be so resisted when it's so good. I have got so much peace of so many years. Is it odd? Yes. I think if I go into the supermarket and there's cow tongue, I go, I'm not sure if I want cow tongue. why did God pick the tongues, as a deal? You know what I think it is? I think that he says, will you have faith in me like a child? Because there's benefits. For some reason, I don't know how to pray all that well. But God gives me the ability to pray, and I end up praying a whole lot better than I could have. I think most of us think we can manage life a lot better than we actually do, because after a while we end up down the road and go, well, how in the world, what in the world? But if you have a capacity to rely on the Lord, you'll end up at places that you're supposed to be, because he'll help you, right? So let's look at number two. Number two, the benefits for you. Won't take a lot of time here, but this is having the Holy Spirit, the benefit of. There's two main verses. One who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. I always love to joke around with this. So it's like the bat phone calling Commissioner Gordon. I don't know. That's just old right there. That's just really old. But it's a private line. It's a private line because it says, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Isn't that a comforting, wonderful thing? When you're speaking, God says, I'm going to give you a capacity to talk directly to me in the midst of your faith-filled moments, in the midst of your hurting moments, in the midst of your doubts. I'm going to give you a direct line to me so that you can pour out your heart and pray. And I'll give you a capacity to express things. I remember, I've shared this here, but there's some who haven't heard this. I remember the very first time when the Holy Spirit just came on me. I was in my kitchen in Van Nuys, California. You were away on a flight, honey. I started praying vigorously in tongues for quite a while, 10, 15 minutes. I'm just praying like crazy. And so what is going on? I asked the Lord, what's going on? What's going on? He said, it's clear as a bell. It's like, right now in Africa, there is a massive crusade going on. Thousands of people are coming to the Lord, and I've alerted people around the world to pray. I got to be one of them. I had no idea. He just let here get that. You assign you, and next thing, and I'm praying, and there's stuff. And I got to, after that, you didn't have to tell me what I was praying for. If the Spirit of God moves me to pray in tongues for a while, I just know something real good going on. I'm on assignment, and something good is happening. So there's breakthroughs that happen when you are on assignment and receive these things. You're praying directly to God, right? It also says in the very same verse, not to men, but to God, for no one understands. But he utters, everybody say, utters mysteries. Utters mysteries to himself. So one of the primary benefits is that, and this is where I was saying a minute ago, you might not understand what to do in a situation, but you take some time, give a little room, allow the Holy Spirit to just slow down. Spend a day or two praying in the Spirit over a situation, and things come real clear. There's all kinds of strength and things that happen out of it. Sometimes there's when we pray for people, we'll ask the Holy Spirit, what is the issue? And the Holy Spirit, how many of you have suffered from something? You don't even know what's really wrong. You're just going through stuff. But when you pray in the Spirit, Lord, to highlight and say, this is exactly what's going on. He knows the human heart well. He knows all of our background, capacity, everything that we have need of, and knows how to help us, lead us in a moment, to help us, whether it's an emotional need like that, whether it's just the clarity. I remember sitting down next to somebody on an airplane. God must like airplanes and ministry time, because you can't jump out. I sit down, and the Lord will say something. I've had this happen different times, to say something to me, and I end up in a conversation with somebody. It brings a fruitful time of healing or encouragement or prophetic things that happen. And this is just the natural life that the Lord invites us into. When you walk with the Spirit, these are the kind of things. If you haven't had the availability of this, because I know for many of them, speaking to the choir. In other words, this is old hat to you. But if you haven't started with the Holy Spirit in this way, we want you to have to be available to all that Jesus has for you. I know it's happened so many times. You've heard of this too. People just want more of Jesus. I just want more of Jesus. I just want more. They go home. They're praying. They've been taught, maybe even against this. And they're in their room at night, and they're praying and asking God, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. Lord, I want more of you. I just want more of you, God. I just want more of you. And next thing they're doing, praying in tongues. And the power of God's on them. How many of you that happened to you like that? Is there some in here? All by yourself, praying, and next thing you know, God, Jesus comes and says, "You want more of me? You want more of me? Yes, you do. I'm going to baptize you in my spirit." And then you end up with this communication and this intimacy with God. How many of you know there's a thing called intimacy disorder today? A lot of people have struggle, walls up, all kinds of trouble with intimacy issues. And the Holy Spirit says, "I want to come and show you the intimate healing touch of the loving God and bring something into your life that'll begin healing that." It's wonderful. And you realize God goes deeper than you ever could on your own. And of course, this next this next verse says, "But you, beloved," Jude 1:20, "building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The next part says, "keeping yourself in the love of God." How many of you have had times when you just are needing something, you feel just really drained, tired, overwhelmed, and somehow you know what, I'm going to just pray in the Spirit a little bit here. And you pray. I was talking with one of our staff people the other day. I said, "Do you feel it after praying about 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Suddenly, all the anxieties are gone out of your mind and you just really feel close to the Lord and overflowed by His Spirit and you feel some peace come over?" He said, "Yeah." Isn't that how it's supposed to work? He gives us this availability to have God enter in at a level of care for us. But we have to activate it. We have to draw upon Him. So let's go ahead and look at number 3. We're almost done here. Number 3 is understanding the invitation for you to receive. The invitation for you. We laid the biblical idea down that from the different passages that this is a passion of Jesus, that you would be baptized by Him in His Spirit. We showed how the Holy Spirit came when they were waiting on the day of Pentecost. We showed how Peter came to Cornelius' house and how, as he was talking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And then we saw how they did the same thing within Ephesus when Paul met with those disciples and they had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that could be you today. It could be a person that doesn't even have any kind of... Now, if you're around here for any length of time... I came out of a church under Jack Hayford, and a real passion of his heart was that we would understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all that's available. He would use the word capacitating. He would say the Holy Spirit gives you a capacity to do things you couldn't do on your own. And everything that the disciples did, it was through the capacity of the Holy Spirit. Right? So you got another minute to give me here. Ready? Invitation. So here's how I share this. This is kind of how I've put it together over the years. Look at the verse there, Luke 11:13. There, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Luke said it this way. He says, "Look, you guys don't even know how to give gifts, but you do. How much more?" Everybody say, "How much more? Will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit if you ask?" And this is an integrity issue with God, because if you ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get anything else. He won't allow anything else to happen. It's not permitted. Because if you ask me, then I will give you the Holy Spirit. So to Him, it's a point of integrity. But I've had people come up and they're all nervous. They don't know and I said, "Hey, God's not going to pull one on you. If you've asked for the Holy Spirit, guess what? Nothing else is going to happen. The devil's not going to be involved." See, it's a point of integrity with God. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Then He says, the Holy Spirit comes upon and you begin to what? Speak as He gives utterance. Everybody listen to this. Understand that Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit to deepen your relationship with Him. It's really about a deep relationship with Him. It has to do with a desire for more of Jesus, a greater openness to His love. And now I want you to listen real close to this. I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit created all the languages in heaven and earth. Are you there? So when it comes to the utterance part, guess what? I don't know how many languages. There's hundreds of thousands of languages. There's hundreds of thousands of them. I started asking different people from different countries. There are hundreds of thousands of languages and dialects all over the place. It's amazing. And do you know every single one of those languages is on the tip of your tongue by the Holy Spirit? Every single language. Every one of them. So usually, this is kind of the pattern. When you say, somebody says, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. A guy came up, a friend of a friend in here, came up and I shared this stuff with him. I said, okay, every language in the earth. Now, here's how he did it with me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I was unnerved about the whole tongues thing. It freaked me out. But I would be driving in my car, and these three little syllables came to my head. Duh, wah. And I'm going, and I had this experience. I'm making this up. I must want this so bad, I'm making this up. Can you on the outside look and see the warfare? So, see, part of when the syllables start to come and you're standing there, these are the prompt. The Holy Spirit's going, I'm prompting you. If you'll say those, I'll flow more in there. You realize I've not said Adawa ever since then? I think it was just start. Start. I'll give you something to start with. And then, so I begin to pray, and at 40 years, I've gone through language after language after language. It says varieties of tongues. I don't know how many I've spoken. I was praying in here the other day, I think, and went through five. I went, wow, I visited China or somewhere in Asia. I think it was in Latin America. I'm just going for it, you know, just praying and all these. It's a delight to God to give yourself to Him and be His kid. And I don't know if I'm praying for prisoners or for, I don't know what I'm praying for, but I'm just giving myself to Him. It's His thing. It's His delight that you would yield to Him and enter into a relationship where He has the lion's share of your soul. And you just praise Him and it's a joy. All those languages are available. There's just a couple of things. I think probably when it comes to people having a difficult time receiving, I've only run into this maybe 2% because I've only known like two people. I don't know. I probably ministered more than, maybe less than that. I learned one of these principles from another teacher. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, God requires that you repent of something before receiving. One guy, he just cursed all the time. Curse, curse, curse. His mouth was just used to curse people, curse, curse. He was a cussing, cursing guy. And the Holy Spirit just said, before I baptize you, Holy Spirit, I want you to repent. Because I'm going to just flow something really pure in your mouth. And that was a requirement for him. I was praying with someone one time, and they was like just all confused. And the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, did you honor another God? And the guy said, well, I was in the military of some sort down in San Diego, and I went with a friend into a mosque. I didn't mean none of it. I didn't mean none of it. Well, let's go ahead and repent. Did you say something? Yeah, but I didn't mean it. Let's go ahead and repent for saying whatever you said. Okay. He repented, and instantly the flow of the Spirit, the tongues began. Had another guy was coming out of the waters of baptism. I saw the word religion over his head. He was like, about to look like he's almost going to pray in the Spirit. And I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke religion. And boom, it came out. How many of you came from different backgrounds where stuff was honored that wasn't just a relationship with Jesus? So sometimes those things get in the way. But once you get all that stuff, it's pretty easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I think I've said it all. So here's the deal. We're going to have some people on the platform here. And if you would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, Pentecost, this Pentecost Sunday, and that's something you've never done before, I want to invite you up. And we'll just go ahead and walk through that and say, now, Lord, come upon my brother, come upon my sister with your power, with your love. The most amazing thing about the depth of love that you feel from the Lord, the power of His love. I think that's the greatest thing. One of the things is just how many of you have been in the presence of God and you feel such peace that He doesn't have to tell you it's peace? You just know it's peace. And you've needed peace and now He pours out peace. when you have need of things and you pray and there's just that little intimacy. I remember I was laying in the bed the other day, and granddaughter jumped into the bed and just sat next to me. And there's intimacy, there's joy, there's communion, there's closeness. Except now it's me jumping up in Daddy God's lap and saying things that bless His heart because I'm available to Him. Now, let's go ahead and just lift our heads. Tell you what, just take a moment and let the courtesy of privacy happen in your own heart right now. I want to ask a holy murmur, so to speak, of just bless the Lord with your spiritual language right now. Just take time and notice the room change, the peace of God increase in the room. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You are a loving Savior, your healer, your deliverer. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is truly liberty. There's life-giving truth. Hallelujah. A fountain in each of us, a fountain of many flow of rivers of life, rivers of language, rivers of peace, rivers of miracle rivers. We thank you for all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come now, come Holy Spirit, come. Come, pour out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord with our language. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't feel like we're supposed to stop just yet. Let's go ahead and pray in the Spirit some more. Praise you, Lord. Oh, wow. Let the wind of the Spirit, yes, Lord, blow through you. Hallelujah. Let there come a refreshing. The Lord is placing hope. He's placing hope. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Intensify your passion and hunger just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Love you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Some of you don't have the full liberty that the Lord desires. I want to ask you again, one more time, go beyond where you normally have been and just determine, just tell the Lord, I want to go deeper into the things of the Spirit. I want to go deeper in relating to you. I want more of you, Lord. I believe there's a capacity to overthrow hindrances in your own soul, things that have held you back. Maybe you've had judgments about yourself saying, I'm not all that spiritual. The Lord says, forget all that. It's not about your judgment of you. It's about my pouring out my love upon you and giving you more than you've ever had before. Hallelujah. Because it's not about deserving something. It's about receiving something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.